Press On with Jared Gunter of the Beaver Dam Church of Christ. Hello again, neighbors. Hope you're doing well today. This week we've been asking the question, am I partial? Coming from the text of James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. We've talked about a few different things already. We've talked about race. We've talked about gender. We've talked about different things that could divide us, even social status. And man pays attention to those things. And it's not that God doesn't understand or recognize those things. He does, but he doesn't care about them. But another thing in which man pays a lot of attention to and is divisive over is even religion. Just as we've done the past couple of days, let's compare what man asks or what man looks at compared to what God looks at. With religion, man asks, are you Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, atheist, or agnostic? Are you denominational or non-denominational? Are you liberal or conservative? But what does God say? What does God command? And what does he deserve? Simply what we find in God's word is the talk of Christianity, about people becoming disciples of his son, Jesus the Christ. And what's God's expectation? Follow. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 19 through 20, we read, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And then in Acts 11, verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch for a whole year. They met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Did you catch that? I don't see Catholic or Methodist or Baptist or any other title other than Christian. What else does God say? What does he demand? He demands truth. He demands it to be seen, followed, and taught. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Ephesians 6 and verse 14, Paul would write, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And what else does God demand? He demands reverence towards him. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 28 through 29, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. 1 Samuel chapter 12 verse 24, we read, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. And then in Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 through 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. But see, sometimes we tend to forget the things that should seem most obvious to us, even among all the other things that we've discussed throughout this week. And so what is it that we might forget? Maybe we forget that Christ is the Lord of glory, as we read in James chapter 2 and verse 1. Consider this, folks. The one who called Jesus our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, was none other than his half-brother James. There's no sibling rivalry to be seen there. James could no longer deny who his brother was. He could no longer deny the deity of Jesus, and therefore we should neither. And since Christ is the Lord of glory, we can conclude rather easily that, well, man isn't. But we tend to treat people that way, deserving of glory. Just think back to the different parameters that we listed a few lessons ago. If they're in a certain tax bracket, I want to impress. If they have a certain job over another kind of job, I'd rather be friends with them than the friend with the lame job or no job. See, favored people act favored. In James chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, again, we read, but you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? See, the people we tend to elevate have most likely been elevated before. It almost becomes an expectation to them. But what does God do? You go back another verse to James chapter 2 and verse 5, and we see that God tends to use the unfavored. Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But yet we still fall into that mindset of special treatment, and it's certainly a work of the devil, but there's a cure for it. The cure for partiality is to love all people. Look again at what James writes in James chapter 2 and verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. That's the question for us, neighbors. Are we really fulfilling the royal law? Are we loving our neighbor as ourself? No filters, no qualifications. Every single person that we come in contact on the face of this planet is our neighbor. Are you loving them? Am I loving them? And as we close this study tomorrow, talking about one more partiality of man compared to God's impartiality, hope you'll join us as we'll come back right before lunch at the Z. Thanks for listening to Press On, a production of the Beaverdam Church of Christ. As of May 24th, 2020, we will be reassembling as a congregation for Sunday morning worship only at 10 a.m. We invite you to join us, but we also ask that you would check out our website at beaverdamchurch.com for our congregation's coronavirus guidelines. We hope to see you soon, and we pray that everyone would stay safe and healthy. God bless you.